anytime, any place, anywhere. You can worship God. You can praise Him. You can thank Him. When you're driving in your car, carefully. When you men are mowing the lawn, or some of you women that mow the lawn, just lift up your hands. If it's self-propelled, leave one hand on. It's fine. It's fine. If it's a zero turn, you might be able to use your legs. Not real much. You might just start going in circles. It's fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, before we get into the message, I want to announce two exciting things that are happening here at the church. And I'm doing this because if we do it at the beginning of the service, some of you are still in the restroom. If we do it right after, then some of you are in the restroom. And if we do it when you leave, then some of you are in the restroom. Did you get my point? You're in the restroom a lot. I feel it. All that coffee we give you makes you go to the restroom. The point is that we have a renovation starting in the youth, which is going to be huge. For those of you that were with us in the 90s, you know when the building was built. You know what it looks like. Like the grout in the tile used to be rose. Now it's gray or black. I'm not sure which one, but it's really bad over there. So we're going to be ripping some stuff up, replacing some bathrooms, changing the flooring, and making that building just a fresh appearance and giving it some goodness and putting some life back in it. So that's one of the things. And number two, today, right after service, they're probably going to be shooing you out rather quickly. All of our speakers get taken down and the new ones start getting erected. So praise the Lord, long time coming. We're going to have three mini houses hanging in the sanctuary because we know the price of those was more than a house. We're thankful that we had the money to pay for it. But at the same point, it is going to put us out of, I don't want to say that. We are going to be changing our place of service on Wednesday. We are going to be in the lobby in a very small environment. It's going to be like the church back in Acts where there were some people in the upper room. We're just going to be on the bottom floor praising and worshiping God. And we're going to do it out there. And then you're going to be dismissed to your small groups. And Pastor Randy's going to deliver a message out there with some type of sound system that we don't know what, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. We got it all taken care of. It might be a karaoke machine. I'm not sure. He's loud enough. That's what I'm hearing people say. So these are two great things. I just wanted to give you information so that you know what you can expect. A lot of the 5th through 12th graders are going to be moving their location and spending some time in here, maybe with worship and things like that until some things are arrived. But it's going to be good, and we're excited about change. Amen? All right, so let's get into the Word. We've been talking about praise on Sundays. And I want to remind you that praise is not just something we do on Sunday and Wednesday. Although we give a portion of our service towards that, it's something you can do anywhere. You can praise Him in the morning. You can praise Him in the noontime. You can even praise Him, I think there's a song, at supper time. But the Word says in the evening, this is an actual scripture. Why? He's driving something home to us. He's saying that if you will praise me, if you will praise me, it changes the way you perceive situations in life. And if you praise me in the morning, then what you see at 10 o'clock will be a reflection of what you praise him for in the morning. That if you praise him in the afternoon, no matter what your boss has come to deliver, you're going to have the right perspective to hear it and see it because you're not looking at it from man's perspective. Remember, David asked us, come magnify the Lord with me. Get a magnifying scope, put it on your current situation, and look at how big God is in your situation. So praise is something that God doesn't need. It's something that you were created for. And when you and I are created for something, it's natural in our being to become what God's created us to be. How many of you noticed the color of fall? Oh, wait, maybe you just noticed the dirt everywhere. The brown dirt everywhere because there is no green in our grass anymore. The point is that the season is changing. But do you realize that all of creation praises who he is? Through the blooming of every flower and the death of every, well, the death of every weed. Let's just say that. Do weeds really praise God? The point is that all of creation was created to reveal his glory. You ever wonder how trees start green and turn brown, red, yellow, these beautiful orange colors because of God's goodness, because of what he made. No man can create photosynthesis. No man can create what God has created creation to do. And don't believe the lie that man can fictitiously work around with humans and create what he wants. Only God can create what it is. And what you were created and when you were created is exactly what God meant to create you for and exactly what he meant to create you as. God chooses what we are. Man does not. Today I might sing a little bit in the message. I hope that's all right. But I want to express how important praise is and what praise is doing. We've learned that praise remembers who he was. It remembers what he's doing right now. And it remembers and declares what he's about to do. And you say, well, how does it remember what he's about to do? Because the Bible is full of prophetic things. It spoke Jesus coming in the Old Testament, and it came to pass in the New Testament. There are things spoken in the Bible to you and I that are past tense, that are our present future. If he did it for one, he'll do it for you. If he delivered the Israelites, he'll deliver the children of God today. If he delivered his chosen Jewish children, he'll deliver the grafted in Gentile generation. Amen. And I'm thankful that I'm grafted in and that I'm using my adoptive rights. I don't need to beg to get in to see Christ. I don't need to beg to sit and kneel at the throne of God and ask for anything. I boldly approach my Father and ask it in Jesus' name, and it is mine. Today, the miracles wrought. Why? Simply ask what it is that you have need of and watch him move. Praise positions us, and this is what I'm going to be talking about today. Praise positions us not only in his presence, like we learned last week, but praise positions us to be protected. Did you hear that? Praise positions you and I to be protected by the enemy. Now, some of you say, well, where's that at? Well, let's read. We're going to start digging in there. By the way, let me just give you an example of what it means to praise God about your situation, past, present, and future. I can think about my children or my marriage, and I can think about what God is doing. I thank the Lord that he knew my children in my womb, that he knew that when Randy and I came together, that out of 44 billion choices, he would choose Alexis, Lincoln, and Quentin. He didn't choose them because he was just busy that day and said, oh, I don't care, angels, you choose. I got stuff to decide. He specifically chose my children for a specific time and place on this earth. Number two, I can look at them and say, what is he doing in their life right now? Father, I thank you that my children, that you chose them from our womb. Father, my womb, God, that you birthed them with a purpose and a presence to do what you've called them to do. God, I thank you that presently they will hear your voice, that they will respond to your calling, that they will walk in their God, divine, given purpose and plan for their life. Devil, I thwart off your plans. You have no place in my children's life. And God, lastly but least, I pray Jeremiah 29:11 over my children and their future. For I know that the plans that you have for them are great and mighty, and that it's to prosper them and bring them and give them hope. That it's not bad things that you're bringing to them, but it's the goodness of God. And they will know of your goodness and tell of your great deeds. What is that? Praise. That's praise. And what happens is when one of you parents start to see your children go wayward, listen, Copy my praise. You can thank him for that he chose them. You know he chose them with a purpose. You know that no matter what they're doing in their current life, it doesn't matter because they can't outrun the plans of God. And number three, that they would see the goodness of God and surrender to it for their future. That they would know that you mean them good and not harm. That's praise. His praise would continually, forever, be in my mouth about every situation, whether the situation I don't like, the situation I do like, and the situation I love. God's in them all. But we have to be praising about it. Psalms 149:6. Let's start there today, and I'm going to go to the NIV. It says, may the praise of God, just look at the word, may, that's a choice word. May the praise of God. I'm telling you that it could be in your mouth. It would be in your mouth. It would really be good if it would. And it probably should be in your mouth if you want to see what praise does. But it's still a choice. It may not. You choose. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. Now, I want to just bring up Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me remind you, a two-edged sword, one edge on this side, one edge on this side. When a sword goes in, it cuts. When the sword comes out, it cuts on the other side. It's double-edged. It has more than one purpose. It's to wound twice as bad. Just want to say that. It's kind of like those bullets that go and they, like, I had a dog once. He got shot. He was a wolf. A wolf dog. They said it was a wolf dog. I think it was all wolf. It was terrible. Anyways, this little elkhound wolf dog would run the neighborhood. Well, one day he came back and his whole backside had shrapnel because someone had shot him with some bullet that split. And I'm thinking it's a shotgun shell. Shotgun shell. And there were all these little beads in him. He had to go to the vet and get them all removed. The point is that God gives you a weapon to do a certain thing. The word of God is likened to a double-edged sword. If you look in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the spirit is the written word of God. When you mix praise and the word of God together, you now have a weapon that is going before you. Why? Because the words that you're speaking are not your words. The words you're speaking are not empty words. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I love this song that we sang today with the la 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 la's in it. I don't know what it was. But I want to be honest with you. If you think winning a battle with la 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 la's is going to get you somewhere, it's not. Because it's what you sing that matters. It's what you praise that matters. It's what you demonstrate and what's in your heart and the motive when you praise that breaks something. You got to mix the word with your praise. This is why so many times the pastors are championing, read your word, read your word, read your word, read your word. Listen, I understand reading your word is not always fun. You know why? You probably don't have the right translation. Just let me say that. If you don't understand what you're reading, then you need a different translation that you can understand. Did you hear? Yeah, Corey's pointing to me. I know, Corey. Listen, they're different. I used to read the Amplified Bible because in parentheses, it would tell you what every word meant. It was amazing. Why? It taught me because I didn't understand the language of kings in the King James Version. My husband, he preaches out of the New King James. Why? It's brought down a little bit so it's more modern English than it is old English. And so it's easier to understand. Reading your Bible is important, but it's the Word of God. When you and I come together on Sunday and we begin to praise the Lord, the songs that we sing are based out of Scripture. Do you realize that? We don't just haphazardly choose songs that are there. They're about Jesus. They're about you. They're about God and what He's done through His Son Jesus for you. So that when you sing it, you'll memorize it. It'll make a melody. It'll sit in your heart. It's important that you praise. When this word comes out of our mouth, the word comes out of our mouth. Do you realize that if you read in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it talks about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, everything the believer has in its armor is defensive except the sword, the word of God and the sword. Why? Because that's what gets the devil on the move. Let me tell you something. We don't just need defensive equipment. Have you ever watched a soccer game where the only thing the team's got is defense? They'll go, man, your neck's broke by the end of the game because this is all you're watching. Right here. They can never get it past the half field line. I don't even know that's the right word. Half field. Well, anyways, I just sit in the soccer chair. I'm just going to be honest with you and go, yay, yay, when they did something good. I didn't know how to do it. And say, go blue when it got really bad. You can do it, blue. Let's go. That's all I got. The point is that when someone's only on the defense, you make no ground. All you do is stand your ground. All you're doing is holding what is there at bay, but you're not progressing anywhere in the natural. All you're doing is allowing someone to take and hit and give you blows over and over and over. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Media, I don't know that I put that on there for you guys. I might have forgot. I'm sorry. I will preface this today. Paraphrased, it says, be careful how we live. Don't be foolish. Understanding what God's will is. Don't get drunk. Be filled with His Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart unto the Lord. Now, I'm going to have a little example of this. But this seems kind of weird because it's not often that we greet one another and we're like, oh, hello, do you know how good God is to you today? I'm so happy that you came to church. He's going to make a way. That's not really how we greet each other, is it? But it said, with hymns, with song, with psalms to one another. Let me give you an example. Wednesday night, I was in a small group. If I'm usually not in the main house, then I go to a small group and I just pop in and I see them and I just get to sit with other people and hear what they're going through and share and they share. And what are we doing? We're getting freedom together. And I went in a small group and we were talking about a very big struggle. The question was, how do you follow Jesus and pick up your cross? What is your cross? And one of the girls in the room had just shared something very vulnerable, very vulnerable. She's going through a really hard time. And all of a sudden, someone else in the room says something, and she looks at me and says, won't he do it? I said, yes, he can. Come on. Come on. Right here, girls. Come on, everybody. I'm going to tell you where it came from. Come on. Come on, turn that up a little bit. Come on. And I don't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. Come through. Come on, this is where it's at. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Come on.
Won't he do it? Yes, he will. He'll take the storm and make it still. Won't he do it? Yes, he will.
Come on. That's where it's at. What did we do? She simply spoke to me in a song and a hymn. She said, Pastor Nicole, won't he do it? I said, yes, he can. That's what God is about. What he's saying is, put it on there. Put it out there. Remember what I did for them. What I did for them, I'll do it for you. Encourage yourself with praise. Encourage yourself with hymns. Sing to one another. Look at them in the heart of it when they're struggling and say, won't he do it? Yes, he will. Come on. Because you can preach what you've learned in your mind through melody. Some of us are afraid to sing. It says make a joyful noise. Don't worry about sounding pretty. The songs that we sing are scripture. and they make a difference. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles. And some of you more mature Christians, don't check out on me. It's always good to hear a story again. And I'm going to tell you this because this is the one, this chapter is so important to me. And I'm just going to let you know that this is where I might be singing a little bit more. Okay, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And I'm going to skip around here because I don't know that I'm going to read every single scripture because of time. Okay, we're going to start in 20 verse 2. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, now this was the king at that time, a vast army, vast, that means really, really big army, is coming from Edom and it's marching against you. These people aren't coming in peace, they mean harm, and they're very, very big. Let me remind you that as believers, that no weapon that the enemy would form will prosper against you.
Right.
But it would also be that praise may be in your mouth. So if a vast problem is approaching you, you might want to execute what Jehoshaphat did. Against you from beyond the Dead Sea. In the third verse, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Two things we see right there. He went to the Lord for help, and he began fasting. And I know to some of us, that is a curse word. I don't like it any more than the rest of you do. And whether we like it or not, in the Bible, the fasting that it talks about is food. I'm all about fasting your cell phone if your cell phone's the problem. But you can't use the cell phone every single time you want to fast if the cell phone isn't the problem. Making your flesh suffer without food is important. And I'm preaching to the choir. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah in Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. And he prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. And no one can stand against you. Go down to verse 9. It says, they said, wherever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. Do you remember last week how we talked about coming into the temple and standing in the holies of holies and in his presence? They had come with thanksgiving and entered the gates. They had come with praise and entered his courts. Now they are in the presence of the Almighty God, and they are praying and asking what they will of him. We can cry out to you, and you can save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. I trust in God. Right? My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. But then the bridge says, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard. What did Jehoshaphat do? He cried out. He looked to the Lord to help him. And he fasted and prayed, and he's going to come through. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yep. And now see that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. Go on down to the second part of 11. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? For we are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do. But we are looking to you for your help. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, you have overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle You've already won. This is just off the CMA radio. I just want to let you know. Just the radio. Top 100 hits. It's fine. Why? Because I listen to the radio and it matters. Why? Because I put it in my spirit all day long. All day long. If I can hear the praise of what's going on, why? I use song to fight my battle. I use praise to fight my battles. Because there's time that, I'm going to be real with you, I might not take the time to find out the scripture that I need, but a song just sang me the scripture. The song just sang 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. All of the men in Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. Go to verse 15. It says, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz and at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jerul. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand and watch the Lord's victory. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. Those are your words in a song we sing at this church. It doesn't matter what your situation looks like. It doesn't matter the report of the Lord. Our God does not lose a battle. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like around us. When it looks like, quite frankly, some of us have lost a lot. The word says that he never loses a battle. Therefore, I must have won, even though it feels like in this earth I have lost. If the word says it, I believe it. Take your positions, watch still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed and lowered his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. By the way, people don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. Lead by example. If you're a leader in this church, you know what? You want your volunteers to show up early? Show up early. You want them to show up late? Just come trickling in a little bit late. Just be honest. I'm speaking to my choir. Right here it is. Because you do what you see us do. And we're doing our best to lead you. Because if I bow my face to the ground, all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. I'm not asking you to praise if I'm not praising him. I'm telling you, this is a spiritual habit that must be practiced and learned day in and day out. And I get it might be easier for some than others. But trust me, you can do it. And it gets easier as you don't care what people think. Then the Levites from the clans of Korhath and Korah stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early in the morning, the army of Judah went up into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithfulness, his faithful love endures forever. And I think that in modern today, it would look like, I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. We sing it. What is it? It's the modern day version of exactly what they were singing. I'm telling you, church, you've got an arsenal of praise in what you've already memorized. It's not something you got to go out and learn. It's present. It's right here now. And when you sing it, it's living. It's powerful. And it goes out to accomplish what God sent it to do. Remember, the word tells us that the word of God is just like the rain. That when the rain comes down from heaven, who gives the rain? Man can't make rain. Well, they can make it. It's just not the right way. They seed the atmosphere and then it rains because they get the clouds to get heavy with this, I don't know, humidity and then it condensation and then it's got to empty. God creates the rain. Amen. He brings the rain. He says it comes to the earth and it does what it's purposed to do. And it does not return to him until it's watered what he wanted it to water. He said, my word is like that. So when God sent forth his word onto the pages of this book through mere men who rewrote it, it became, ready for this, it's as if it's dormant on these pages, like a seed, the word, the seed of God. But when man speaks the written word of God, because God sent it to the earth to perform the work that he said it would do. What was it going to do? The word was going to become alive. How? By the words of the believer. They're not walking around alive and you just get a walk in it. You have to do something to ignite them and to bring them to life and make them powerful. It's like the greatest sci-fi movie ever told. Ever told. There's secrets in these pages. And when you open them up, you know how many of you have ever said, oh, I'm just going to open the Bible today. Doesn't matter where you turn it. Doesn't matter what you read. It's all alive. The second you speak it, it begins to bring life into your body. And it is sent forth to do what God proclaimed it to do. Do you know that when the angels of heaven hear the written word of God, they know, it says they know his voice and they come to literally carry out what the Lord says. What the Lord says, not what you say, not what I say, not what anyone else tells them. Don't be sending angels to do the work. It's not how it works. You ask God, you speak his word, and the minute they hear the word, they go, whoa. To what? To fulfill God's word. Because it cannot get to heaven before it's fulfilled God's divine purpose in your life, in my life, in the world, in your body, in your family, in your job. It cannot return to him void. It must be fulfilled. So the minute it's released, the angels are on it. I don't think they want a bad report when they get to heaven and say, Lord, we tried to get that word delivered, but it didn't get there. It got to you first. I don't think that's a day in the office you want to hear. Be honest. At the very moment, verse 22, they began to sing and give praise. The very moment they began to release faith through praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Later on down in verse 23, it says, after they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, and they saw there were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see, and not a single one of the enemy had escaped. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. He's your champion, church. He goes before you and I. If we'll just apply what his scripture states. Have we lost the thought pattern of what the power of praise can do? Have we lost the ability to understand that when the written word of God is spoken, that it comes alive and becomes a declaration of our end? I'm here to remind you that praise is a word that's proclaimed. Yes, it's a word of what he's done. Yes, it's a word of what he's doing. But it's a word of what he will do in our lives if we'll possess the power that is in the voice of praise and release it. Let the word, let the redeemed of the Lord. What? There's that old KJV coming back. That's how I memorized scripture, was in the King James Version. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why? Because when you say it's so, it's so. But if you don't say it, you don't get your so. You get your no. To be silent is to consent to what is happening in your life. To be silent is to say, I refuse to use faith and release it in my situation. I refuse to take God's way instead of man's way. That's a tough one, isn't it? Do you know the first thing the enemy comes when struggle comes to our life is that he comes to silence the believer. Do you know what God says? God says that praise silences the enemy. And know this, the devil doesn't have no new tactics. All he does is take what God said, twist it, pervert it, and flip it over. So when he tries to silence you, he knows, because if you can speak in the midst of your trial and in the midst of your tribulation, that in turn you will silence him. Amen. So he lies. And he tries to tell you that you have no voice. It won't matter if you do that. It won't matter if you... That's not true. There's power in the Word of God. And you and I are to declare it. It comes from a prophetic place. I'm going to have to wrap up because of time. Psalms 107, 1. When it talks about, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think of the song that we sing in our song service that says, let all the redeemed, who's redeemed? Prophesy and sing. I can hear the wind blowing. The wind represents the spirit. Blowing, spirits blowing. Move upon our praise. Sons and daughters sing. I can hear the Spirit moving, moving. That's what it means. The wind is blowing. The Spirit of God is moving in your situation. But sons and daughters, stand up and begin to prophesy your end. What did God do? He created the earth with His words. He spoke and it was. You and I are made in God's image. When you speak, things are created in the supernatural realm. Remember, the way you and I war is not of flesh and blood, but we war principalities and things in the spiritual realm. So when you praise and your faith is released, you are creating an atmosphere of victory in your situation. But you must believe that when you sing, there is power within your praise and there's power within your words. When I open up my mouth, miracles start pouring out. What? Well, how's that? Because I'm speaking the living word of God, and it's life. It's giving power to what it says, and it's moving in and amongst the congregation. Do you realize, Nita? When you open up your mouth, miracles that God said for my life start pouring out. You realize that we as a body believers, when we begin to praise in one accord and lift up our mouth and our praise comes out, that the word is going into our ears, into our hearts, into our spirits, and all these seed receptors are believing what we're singing. And when you believe in the Lord your God, you will be saved. Saved in redemption, but saved from the adversary. He is our victory. He is what we live for. It is by His worth, but it's out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Church, we've undermined praise. Stand to your feet if you would this morning. We've not given enough weight to the power of what praise can do. If I could ask for the team to come, yeah. Sing one of those songs I sang today, I don't care. Although, you know, we should probably do that. Won't he do it? Worship leader, could we? Do you guys like that song? Yes, he looked at you. He got you moving, didn't it? I got to be honest with you. Well, never mind. That's not a good thing. I'm thinking of what that is going to take. Ashley, what verse is that? 4:4, 6:8. What is that? It's 4:4. We can do 4:4. Sure, we can. Randy, we never want to leave a service, church, without offering up the ability for people to be able to come to Jesus. Today, I want to just mention that there's a simple way. It's ABC. First, we have to admit that we're sinners. We have to admit that we have sinned. And I remind you today that everyone here has sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Church is not a place for perfect people. It's a place for broken people, like a hospital, as if it were. There's some of us further along than others. Some of us have received more healing or dug deep and got our wounds bandaged up a little bit better than others. But number two, we must believe. Believe in what? Believe in the church? No. Believe in Christ. Amen. Believe that God sent his only son, that he would die for you and your sins on the cross, on Calvary, so that you too could have eternal life. Not a perfect life here on earth, not an easy life. I'm going to be real with you. Just because you get saved doesn't mean life is easier. It means that you don't do it alone, and you do it with Christ. And when everything else falls apart, you still have hope. Life's not easy these days. Third thing you got to do is confess. Simply confess that Jesus is Lord and that God the Father raised him from the dead on 3 days. A, B, C. It's that simple. Then you're a Christian. Then what, Pastor Nicole? Simple. You join the family of faith. I'm looking right at Corey, who joined the family of faith, and life is just blowing and growing for him. He doesn't know it, but he's going to be on my testimony list. I'll throw you under the bus, Corey, in front of everybody. Why? Because God's doing something amazing in his life. Because he just said yes to the Lord. If you're in this house today, now's your time. And I know you might like, I don't even know how to praise God because I'm not even saved yet. That's okay. That's okay. We'll teach you. On Sundays and Wednesdays, you're going to hear other people praising and worshiping the Lord. Some might lose their mind. How many of you saw Matt running around the sanctuary? You know what he's doing? He's remembering who God is and his faithfulness. And he's so ecstatic, he can't control himself. And he's like, God, I'm free. I'm free. Some people call that losing their mind. Well, I'd rather lose my mind for Jesus than lose it in a football game. And I'm not saying football games are wrong. I've seen some people lose their mind. And that's okay. But lose your mind for Jesus the same way. Amen. He deserves it. He gave his life for us. They just take a hit and get millions of dollars to take the hit, by the way. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, we want to invite you. If you want to know him as your personal savior, then now's your time in the church. We're going to do this every Sunday. Don't matter if nobody comes down. Don't matter if 500 people come down. Why? Because this is the heart of our church. And we believe in salvation. And if someone hadn't shared with us, we wouldn't be here. So we're sharing with you. Is there anyone in the house today that would say, Pastor Nicole, I want to give my life to Christ. And I want to be a part of God's family. And I want to change my life. I want to turn it around. And I need the Holy Spirit's help because I don't know what I'm doing. Is there anyone that would say yes to Jesus this morning? Anyone? Prayer team, help me in the back. If I've missed anybody. All right. I'll get you next week if you're back again. Don't worry. We're going to keep doing it until Jesus breaks through in your heart. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you, Jesus, for the service today. I want to remind you, next week, we're going to be exercising praise a little bit after we share the word, but we're going to lay hands on people that have lost their praise, that have lost a song, that may feel heavy in their spirit, and we're going to exchange it for a garment of praise. That's what we're going to do. If that's you, I'm just asking you to begin to prepare your hearts this week, because I'm telling you, I really believe that the enemy has tried to silence the believer. And this time's got to break off of us in order for us to be what God's called us to be. In order for us to possess the victory, we've got to find our voice again. So I'm asking you to search your heart this week, but I believe God's going to do a lot of things. We're going to be praying for everyone in the house if that's what it takes next week. So get ready. Wear your tennis shoes. Don't wear heels if they're going to hurt your feet, because I want you to be able to stand and praise the Lord. Wear something, remember, that you can praise the Lord in and still be decent in, so that you're not David flapping with his loincloth. I'm just saying, don't be wearing no two-piece bikinis here to worship the Lord in. We'll know what your heart is. But come to worship the Lord and to throw it all out there. Throw it all out there. Lift up your hands before God this morning. Lord, we just give you a moment right here. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, move amongst your people. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for what you did, the delivery of the word today. Father, I thank you that it's going into the hearts of believers everywhere right now. God, I thank you that you're preparing hearts to lift heaviness off, and that joy would break forth, that praise would come forth. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Just kind of sing something. I don't know, I just feel the word, the Lord's working in the service today. I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's doing something. I just need to just sit here just for a minute. Yes. Father, we just worship you. We give you praise in this house today.
Turn me around. Place my feet on solid ground. I think of Master.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I think the Savior. Because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I think the Master, I think the Savior. Because he healed my heart,
he turned me around.
Come on. He placed my feet on solid ground. He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I think the Master, I think the Savior. Because he picked me up, turned me around, placed my
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God's doing some things. He's preparing some hearts. He's ministering to some people today. I believe I've been faithful with what he wanted me to do. Church, this is not a message to be taken lightly. I can't explain to you enough that there is a place of breaking forth. I see this seed in the ground, and I see it breaking open, this fallow ground. Amen. I see it breaking forth out of a dry, hard ground. And I know there's some of you who think, 4 weeks on praise. Yeah, 4 weeks on praise. A generation that says in the midst of the darkness, we will lift up a shout. We will praise our God. We're not children that hide when the enemy comes. We're not children found hunkering down in the barracks because the enemy's trying to put something around us. We stand up in the name of our God and we forge ahead. We don't back down. And we do it with praise and a word and the sword in our hand. And we're not afraid of what can come. It might look like right now you are surrounded. But you are surrounded by Him. It might look like there's no way out. But there's the way out by Him. Church, arise from your ashes. Arise from confusion. Arise from being disheartened and hopeless. You serve the Almighty God. And He says He has come to save us. He means us good. Father, we come before You today and we thank You for moving and ministering in this house today. Father, for the very word of knowledge that came forth in this house. Father, for the word of the Lord. Let it sink deep into our hearts. Deep into our hearts and begin to change us. Let people around us wonder what happened. Why we're so happy. Why we're singing. Why we're joyful. Why our hearts are filled with gladness. Let them ask and let us say, because we have been redeemed. We've been saved and we have hope. I thank You, Lord, that You would bless every person here, every family. Take care of them this week. Minister to them. Lift them up, Father, until we meet again. Keep them safe as we all convene together on Wednesday again to hear the word and to find freedom in our small group. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer outside of what we prayed today, the prayer team will be here to receive you in prayer.
I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart.